Hi, and welcome to Read It For Me. We hope you enjoy this audio download of this week's Read It For Me episode. To watch our animated video summary and access your other learning tools, log into your account at www.readitfor.me. Thanks again, and here comes this week's episode. We've all heard of people being called Machiavellian, and perhaps even described someone in that way ourselves. The description conjures up unscrupulous, opportunistic, amoral characteristics. Those we perhaps wouldn't want ourselves to be identified with. But in all fairness to Niccolo, those broad definitions are out of context. Machiavelli's book, The Prince, from which most of these interpretations have arisen, was written at a time of strife in pre-nation Italy when power was held by key city-states including Venice, Florence, and Rome. Each of these domains was led by a prince who needed to be unscrupulous, opportunistic, and amoral to maintain and increase his power in troublesome times. Perhaps then being Machiavellian was beneficial. Indeed, that is where his book focused. It was written for the elders of Florence, defining best practice leadership techniques of the time. So where do they fit in today's world? Well, if we replace competitive city-states with competitive businesses, ambitious growth plans for territory with ambitious growth plans for market share, and attainment of assets through conflict with attainment of assets through mergers and acquisitions, then the parallels are there for all to see. So join us for the next 10 minutes or so as we reinterpret the best practices of the prince and determine whether being a modern-day Machiavelli is a badge of honor. Mergers and acquisitions. Machiavelli describes the challenges faced by a leader taking over new territories or domains. The first challenge is that of expectation. As Machiavelli puts it, men willingly change their ruler, expecting to fare better. The honeymoon period in M&As is well recognized. Periods of backslapping, bidirectional praise of success, statements of synergies and future plans abound. Staff look principally at the changes in their own area of responsibility and ask, "What's in it for me?" Machiavelli identified this challenge. No matter how powerful one's armies, in order to enter a country, one needs the goodwill of the inhabitants. New leaders need to gain the trust of the new team by ensuring their needs are met, either by improving their situation or maintaining the status quo. So long as their old ways of life are undisturbed and there's no divergence in customs, men live quietly. So the Machiavellian approach to M&As is not necessarily dictatorial, but places emphasis on positive changes where necessary, with maintenance and exploitation of what is good, a 15th century SWOT analysis. Leading by being there. Machiavelli identified the challenges faced by a remote leadership team. When states are acquired in a province differing in language, in customs, and in institutions, then difficulties arise, and to hold them one must be very fortunate and very assiduous. One of the best, most effective expedients would be for the conqueror to go live there in person. He spotted the advantages, the same advantages attained today. Being on the spot, a leader can detect trouble at the start and deal with it immediately. If absent, problems are identified only when they become serious, and then it's too late. When issues are identified early, they can easily be remedied. Wait too long, and the disease will have become incurable. In today's workplace, managing by walking around, strong social communication, authentic leadership, and other practices are proposed by our latter-day gurus. Which of them have ever been described as Machiavellian? A quick word on motivation. When it comes to motivation and discipline, Machiavelli is quite clear. Violence must be inflicted once for all. People will then forget what it tastes like and so be less resentful. Benefits must be conferred gradually, and in that way they will taste better. Short, sharp shocks for deviance, progressive praise for compliance. We've all experienced the good, bad, good sandwich of personal appraisal. Get criticism over quickly and get on with business. It's another excellent Machiavellian practice now in common use in business. The Leader's A-Team. Machiavelli describes how to best create the leader's support team. He identifies two options: work with a group of equally powerful individuals, or become the focal point and gain support from lower levels of responsibility. He presents the latter as the better option. A man who becomes prince with the help of the nobles finds it more difficult to maintain his position than one who does so with the help of the people. Why? because in the former, the leader finds him or herself surrounded by many who believe they are his equal. And because of that, the leader cannot command or manage them the way they want. The worst that can happen to a leader when the people are hostile is for him or her to be deserted. But from hostile nobles, the leader has to fear not only desertion, but even active opposition. Machiavelli's answer is to ensure that the nobles, or today's vice presidents, conduct themselves in such a way that they become dependent entirely on the leader's fortunes. How? By sharing risk and reward, build an A-team with separate yet codependent skills, experience, and shared ambition. Machiavelli and good governance. Machiavelli states, "The first way to lose your state is to neglect the art of war. The first way to win a state is to be skilled in the art of war." It's clear in the context of the original publication that this relates to dictatorial aggression, but with a little extrapolation and consideration of our own modern business context, his comments directly relate to good governance. If the leader focuses on the constraints of his business domain, the external influences, rules and regulations to which alignment is necessary, and the influence of local conditions, it will make it much easier to progress and develop. Machiavelli also suggests intellectual training, assessment of other successful leaders from other domains or times, to discover the reasons for their victories or their defeats so that the prince can avoid the latter and imitate the former. It's benchmarking by any other name. Machiavelli in authenticity. Machiavelli suggests the leader should appear to be compassionate, faithful to his or her word, kind, guileless, and devout. But his or her disposition should be such that, if he needs to be the opposite, he knows how. Now this is more like the common perception of being Machiavellian, but let's read into it a bit. Everyone agrees it's praiseworthy for a leader to honor his or her word and be transparent. Nonetheless, many who have achieved great success have been less than open in their approach. An example? Look no further than Apple and Steve Jobs. Despite being externally praised, there are many Apple employees who could describe the dark side of Jobs' leadership style. But as Machiavelli puts it, a prudent ruler cannot and must not honor his word when it places him at a disadvantage and when the reasons for which he made his promise no longer exist. Change with the times. Be open to continuous improvement. Conflict and contest. Machiavelli suggests that there are two things a prince must fear: internal subversion from his subjects and external aggression by foreign powers. To combat the latter, the leader needs good allies, especially within his or her organization. For the former, the conspirator needs others to help him, and those who, he believes, are disgruntled. Again, good internal allies are key. Don't get lost in self-belief. In his time, Machiavelli identified that a key weakness of leaders is narcissism. He writes, "Men are so happily absorbed in their own affairs and indulge in such self-deception that it is difficult for them not to fall victim to this plague." There have been many similar personalities in our modern times. Machiavelli believed the only way to safeguard yourself against flatterers is by letting people understand that you are not offended by the truth, while recognizing if everyone can speak the truth to you, then you run the risk of losing respect. He suggests a prince, or a leader, must never avoid seeking advice, but he must take it when he wants to, not when others want him to. At the same time, he should be a constant questioner and must take note of the answers given. In today's world, no business stands alone. Success is based on strong, equitable partnerships. As Stephen Covey suggested, success is based on first seeking to understand, then to be understood. In conclusion, so is it wrong to be Machiavellian? We can suggest that he has been misrepresented and, like a stranger in a strange land, his alternative perspective set him apart. But sometimes, the outliers succeed. If we do the same things, we get the same outputs. Time for a change?